Holly Cotton here, and you guys know that one, as a breast cancer survivor, and two, as a women's health advocate, that I love anything that talks about educating women and people that are doing things to empower women, women's health, wellness, mental health, all of that stuff. So today I'm super excited to have Dr. Robert Whitfield. And Dr. Whitfield is actually going to talk to us about some of the programs that he works with. And one of he is the creator of the Holistic Accelerate Recovery Program. And he's going to actually talk to us about breast implant illness and some other stuff about breast implants. He is a board certified plastic surgeon with over 26 years of experience. And again, he's going to talk to us about his expertise and all of that stuff. So welcome, Dr. Whitfield. Yes. Okay. So let's go into it, because I know that, again, I am a breast cancer survivor. So whenever I saw your information about the breast implant illness, I know that it's really common, especially in our population, because a lot of women choose for reconstruction. They choose to obviously go with implants to bring back that, you know, the feel to look whole, you know, fill that void. A lot of times it makes them feel like they're back to normal again. So again, I know on this side, there's a huge population of women that do have the reconstruction, but there's also women, because I have friends as well, who also just got breast implants just for aesthetic purposes. So again, I know there's a lot of women walking around with implants. So can you go into and tell us, I guess, your story of how you figured out breast implant was that you can get an illness from breast implants, and how did you become an expert with this?
Sure. So my background is in oncology. So I, for the most part, took care of cancer patients, head and neck cancer patients, breast cancer patients, and sarcoma patients. And of those, breast cancer is obviously far more common. So in terms of training, I trained and spent a lot of time developing expertise in what's called microsurgery. So we would take tissue from other parts of the body. If we had somebody with a head and neck cancer, we would take and replace their jawbone with the small bone in their leg. And we would do that by keeping the blood vessels attached to that bone, and then connect those to blood vessels in the neck area. If we were doing a breast reconstruction, we'd take the skin and fat connected to the blood vessels from the abdomen area, and that would allow us to reconstruct the breast. And then for sarcomas, which are tumors of the fat, muscle, and bone, those require different reconstructive techniques. So in terms of how I worked and how I developed things over my career is, of course, you're going to have patients get reconstructed, as you mentioned, with implants, because that is by far the most common technique that is practiced throughout the country, because it can be done in smaller, more community-based hospitals. I always worked in larger community or larger referral center hospitals, especially in the beginning of my career. So when I first started seeing patients with quote unquote implant problems, they would be related to like radiation injury after treatment, or capture contracture that developed, or if there was pain. Every once in a while, people would have what seemed to be kind of a reaction, almost like an allergy to a device. And that was far less common, but would happen. So I would end up converting those patients from a implant-based reconstruction to what I did, what was called the DIEP, free flap reconstruction, which is that skin and fat of the abdomen. So over many, many years, or decades, in fact, I would see those cases. And then ultimately in 2016, I had a breast cancer patient look into just having their reconstruction removed to go flat, which of course is totally acceptable and is far more common now than it was when I trained. And so I took her through our consultative process, and she had nothing on her workup other than in her review system, she had a lot of fatigue, which is very common amongst cancer patients in general from bone marrow suppression, especially when receiving different therapies. I took her to the operating room And we performed the explant procedure. We took all the capsular material, tested it all for recurrent cancer and for infection. And she had no recurrent cancer, but she did have an underlying infection. And I don't know how long she had this. It wasn't really something that we could identify on our pre-op laboratory analysis or any of her studies. And afterwards, I placed her on antibiotics based on the recommendations from the cultures I received. And all of her fatigue went away. So I was a little taken back by this, how I could miss this and not, you know, have any, you know, kind of clues or tips that this was going on for her. And I believe she put me on a Facebook group of surgeons who would actually perform explants, whether or not they were for cancer or cosmetic patients. And then I simply had patients start calling our office looking for the explant procedure. And now I've done over 2,000 explants. And about 4,000, over 4,000 consults for breast implant illness. And we've tested over 1,100 implants for bacteria, fungi, and mycobacterium. And about 30% have a bacterial contaminant.
So just because I know that when people listen, they're going to want to ask this question. So whenever you're saying the inflammation or the bacteria, are you talking about where you actually culture the physical implant, or are you talking about the tissue around the implant?
Yeah, so that specific patient, it was like taking a Q-tip and swabbing the inside where the implant was in the body. When I'm talking about PCR testing, which everybody will remember from the pandemic is a really accurate way to test because it looks for DNA fragments, that we're sending about a thumbnail piece of the scar capsule. So that's the patient's tissue that's around the implant.
Okay. And then for anyone that maybe has an implant now and they're listening to this and they're thinking maybe that they also have breast implant illness, what are some common symptoms that they should be saying these are not normal symptoms that could be related to that?
Sure. I think of breast implant illness as a chronic inflammatory problem where the implant is a component of it, but it's not the only thing. So I concentrate, and you mentioned my program, our really strategic holistic accelerated recovery program looks at functional medicine testing. So we look at genomics, we look at toxicity burden, different exposures. Think of like mold, so mycotoxins from mold, heavy metals, environmental toxins. They could be things like phthalates, which are things that make plastic bottles hard. There could be BPAs and parabens. So just think of things that are in products, especially feminine products. And then when you look at the gut microbiome through stool testing, you'll see imbalances and leaky gut. We also look for sensitivities to foods as well as hormonal just imbalances. So we're trying to create a much larger picture of detoxability, toxic burden, gut health, food sensitivity, and hormone balance so that when we prepare any patient for any procedure, especially an explant procedure, we have a surgical treatment plan, we have a detox treatment plan, we have supplementation that supports them through the process, dietary recommendations, and we feel that's the best way to approach the problem. And in my office, most of the patients come from out of state or out of the country now. We have hyperbaric oxygen treatment in our office, lymphatic massage, and a masseuse. Red light therapy, peptide therapy, stem cell therapy. We have all the things that help as you want to improve and make recovery more efficient.
Okay. So how do genetics and environmental exposures affect women with breast implants?
Yeah. So think whether or not you have breast implants is really not the issue. Your body faces a certain amount of inflammation and everybody's understands the word inflammation. So all these things create inflammation, and how your genetics allow you to detox those through your kidneys, liver, especially, that's how you'll keep your burden balanced enough so that you don't suffer symptoms of chronic inflammation. Sure. So usually the patients who come to me are seeking to remove their implants permanently. I don't put implants back in. Basically, what we do is, in the best of all scenarios, we get them prepared for surgery, lower their inflammation to the best of our ability with our plans, as we discussed already, and then perform an explant procedure with or without a lift to tighten skin or reshape the breast, and then with or without additional fat. Fat can be taken from the love handle area, the inner outer thigh area, the tummy area. Those will allow us to rejuvenate and volumize the breast again. People stay about a week, usually in Austin with us. If they're from out of the country, they stay 2 to 3 weeks. And then in terms of recovery, the recovery really is dictated more by where the implant is. Is it behind the muscle or above the chest muscle? If it's above the chest muscle, the recovery is much, much simpler. When it's behind, it can be different for each patient based on how difficult it is for me to remove the tissue up against the muscle. And then that can be a recovery process for just the muscle area of healing that takes several weeks to months. They'll be fine, you know, moving around, doing activities of daily living, but the kind of pushing, pulling, doing planks, Pilates, yoga, things like that will not be acceptable until that muscle's had more time to heal. And once again, that can take several months of healing, depending on how difficult it is to do.
Okay, I was just asking just for general purpose. So how did you go into this holistic mindset as a surgeon?
Well, surgeons in training have to learn a great deal about nutrition. So I did an initial surgical training for 6 years, and surgical nutrition is important in the care of every patient, especially patients who are in, you know, critically injured or suffering an illness or a transplant patient or a burn patient. So all of those patients actually really need critical care. And in our training program where I was, we were responsible for providing that care from a nutritional standpoint. So you would have to calculate how much protein, carbohydrate, fats everyone needed and feed them. And the best way to feed someone is always using the GI tract, but sometimes we couldn't do that. So we would have to actually use IV therapy to treat them. So I've always had an interest in genetics and everything as it relates to that. And it's really been great for me to see how much work is done in that field and to learn more and more about genetics and just functional care. I think it's a great blend to provide that type of care for patients.
So my next question is, everywhere, it seems like, especially on social media, everywhere you look, someone is talking about inflammation or an inflammatory response, or your body's in an inflammatory state, or everywhere you look, someone's talking about inflammation. And what I would like you to do is, one, tell us about your detox recovery program, and two, can you give us a better understanding of what that means when your body is in an inflammatory state?
Sure. So we'll start with inflammation because that's the simplest thing. So if someone were to, you know, walk out of their home today, step off of their step or step off of the curb and twist their ankle would swell. So that's acute inflammation. Your body senses an injury. It's going to send out signals and cells to help heal that area, but first it's going to swell up. So that's acute inflammation. And then as time passes with rest, usually ice to reduce the inflammation, the swelling goes down, the ligaments or tissues heal, and then the cells that are being signaled to stimulate the inflammatory process will go away because that signaling goes away. So if you continue to have a signal, and for instance, when you have an implant, hip, knee, breast implant, doesn't really matter. That's a signal. It's a foreign body in your system. There's always a signal for that to be rid you know, or taken away or eliminated from your system. So when we look at the hip knee breast implant, it doesn't really matter. Your body makes a little, you know, wall of scar tissue around it. Now, in breast implant illness, how we feel and look at it is there's some event, some trigger, some level of inflammation that gets to be too much in each individual. So in Holly, she can tolerate so much, and then maybe she gets a mold exposure, or maybe she has a difficult issue, a family member dies, something stressful, some type of event that really throws the whole system overboard, and she can no longer cope with what is a already busy day-to-day management of stress and or inflammation. So it comes through your diet, it comes through the air you breathe, it comes through the fluid you drink, the food you eat. All of those things add up. And that's why everybody discusses inflammation and controlling like seed oils and not eating gluten and not eating dairy. Because if your GI tract, which many of my patients have lots of trouble with their GI tract, if that's already a significant problem, the chance that you have to detoxify or to keep your inflammation lower, it's much harder for that person.
So tell us about your detox recovery program. Sure. What exactly that includes?
Sure. When we build out the treatment plan for surgery, we have a surgical recovery program that we have people on a course where we see them, of course, pre-op, and we do their surgery. We see them usually about a week post-op before they leave Austin. And then we see them at a month, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. Now, that's the surgical follow-up, and that's been our standard. And we have a whole clinical team that helps do that. And then we have a detox program that's ran by my detox practitioners, which includes health coaching. And that is set up based on your testing. So if you had a bad toxicity test that revealed a lot of different exposures, say to mold or to heavy metal or to different chemicals, we use CellCore for detox. And then we'll run that on 3 to 4 month blocks over the year in parallel to our surgical follow-up to really help the ability of the patient to recover, because many patients can undergo explant, but if they don't have a proper supervised detox program, they can really have difficulty getting better.
Okay. So whenever you talk to someone and after they, you know, that they come for their post-op, say they're a year post-op, they're feeling much better, what are like some of the recommendations that you have? Like, okay, now your body is no longer in that inflammatory state. These are some of the healthy things that I think that you should have in your life, or these are some of like, what are some of those tips that you give them so that they can stay in that basic, you know, homeostasis form?
Sure. Yeah. I think everybody really should be thinking about the fluid they take in. So don't drink out of plastic bottles. I think everybody should understand that those things, especially to a woman's hormones, can alter those and affect those. So if you're going to drink out of something, be careful what you're drinking out of, something stainless steel or glass. I don't have a particular vendor that I'm in, you know, recommending. I'm just think of those things. And then the quality of the fluid. I try to have people really elevate the amount of dietary protein and amino acids they take in, because that's easier in terms of recovery. And it's, I would say, on a whole, less inflammatory. So that's one. And then, you know, so every day we breathe in and out air. So I, in my office, I think we have 8 different types of air filters that are just around to help filter the air. So in your home, having something to help filter the air, Jasper's a really good air filter. It filters down many of the, think of like the allergens and the mold spores and the elements that can really stimulate and give you like a runny nose, make it difficult for you to breathe. And if you can't breathe well at night when you're asleep, you can't really recover. So every day you can wake up feeling as bad as you went to bed if, in fact, you don't get into deep sleep. So one of the ways to do that is your room has to be a little bit cooler, but the quality of the air has to be high enough so that it's not you know, stimulating you, you know, while you're asleep and you're waking up sneezing or something. And then food, I really like supplements that help for genetics. So we have supplements based on genetic profiles of women with breast implants that are mostly liquid based. I think it's important for women to get these on a long-term basis, especially to help with osteopenia. So vitamin D3, K2, methylated B vitamins. About half the country doesn't methylate well, so we can't really use our B vitamins effectively. I like to support the liver by use of glutathione. We like a oral liquid version of that. And then antioxidants and a simple liquid one is vitamin C. That's what we use. So those are basic. And then in the diet, the foods you take in, you got to be really critical of the foods you're eating. I always recommend people avoid just gluten and dairy just to reduce inflammation. But then seed oils obviously are something you want to avoid. So I don't really care what type of diet you follow. I would just make those recommendations within it and try to elevate the protein within that to help just reduce, like especially things from bad carbs. So don't eat out of boxes or bags. Try to eat real food.
And let me just ask you this, because I get a lot of people will always ask me, because I'm also a trainer, and they always ask me about processed foods. And I always say that if it comes out of a bag or a box, that's processed. But real simple. But one of the things that a lot of people struggle with is, and I know especially even after surgery, we always talk about how important proteins are to recovery. And so do you have any recommendations for proteins that you have? Because I know people struggle with that, because they're like, well, eat meat, but now your meat is bad. Meat has pus in it. Don't eat processed meat. So no bacon, but I can eat this. So do you have any suggestions about that? Because I know, you know, that's sure. That's a huge part too.
Yeah, I think what we try to do is use a simple rule that, you know, natural standard is if someone weighs, you know, 120 pounds, you're basically trying to get almost a gram, you know, of per body weight of protein a day. And that's kind of your, you know, base when you're recovering. So how do you get that? You know, we use ultra pure pea protein. So anybody can have it if you're vegan, which they usually have the toughest time just maintaining a high enough protein in their diet. And we use powders that have aminos in them. So many of my patients, we just apply these to them, the aminos specifically, and then I just have them mix it in water. So you're really trying to find little ways to introduce more either aminos or protein into the system. Now, people say it's hard to eat a lot of protein. And if you're not like thinking like that, in general, and that's not really how you eat, it will be pretty difficult. And protein always makes you feel more full, more quickly. So I like the little hacks where you do like a little smoothie or you do a little water. And instead of putting in electrolytes, you're putting in like a little amino powder. It's the little things, right? If someone drinks a whole huge thing of water every day, if they just put a little bit of the amino powder in there, you'd already up your ability to get more dietary protein in.
Got it. And I do 2 scoops amino acids a day. that's why my face. So Dr. Whitfield, I know you said that you guys also, you talked about your recovery and your supplemental line. And so I also like to make sure, even if someone doesn't have breast implant illness, that whoever it is that's on the show, that they can actually have other products and things that relate to a broad population. So are the supplements something that people can buy? That is that something they can get?
Yeah, so we designed them so that you can stay on them and you wouldn't accumulate too many B vitamins. I think, and you always have to just remind everyone, if you're taking, say, an oral supplement like ours, which is a liquid, it absorbs in your mouth. So you're actually getting it before it ever gets to your GI tract. So other things like IVs where they add vitamins or shots, you can get too many Bs, especially. So you just got to be mindful of that. But ours are formulated to not over time do that. So the vitamin D3, K2, the glutathione, the vitamin C, and the it's our methylated Bs. Those are all liquid. And then we have two caps, carnitine and glucarate. And those are part of my inflammation support bundle. Because really, to combat aging, we want to lower inflammation. So whether it's, you know, if you think of it like an anti-aging type situation, or if you're getting prepared for a treatment or procedure and you just want to enhance your recovery, this will help that.
Okay, got it. Got it. Okay, so how can people find you? How can people get your products, get all that information?
Right. So if you want to learn more specifically about breast implant illness, you can go to my show, Breast Implant Illness with Dr. Robert Whitfield. I have over 50 episodes just about breast implant illness. If you want to learn more, you can go to the website, breastimplantillnessexpert.com, or follow us on Instagram at breastimplantillnessexpert to really get our products. DrRobsSolutions.com has all the products, and you can have them shipped anywhere in the United States. You can also reach that from my website or off Instagram. And remember, you're trying to lower the inflammation by supplementing based on what we know about genetics. And really, your diet will support this as well. So, you know, reduce or eliminate gluten, dairy, and then seed oils.
Okay, yes. And I say that all the time too, Dr. Whitfield. I'm like, you can take all the supplements you want, but if you're still eating McDonald's every day, you can't make it. The math ain't mathin'. That's what the young people say, Dr. Whitfield. The math ain't mathin'. So it's like, you have to get, you have to sacrifice that for that. You can't just take in a whole bunch of supplements and expect that now all of a sudden you're not in inflammation. So anyway, and I will have all of Dr. Whitfield's information that he just said as well in the podcast notes. So for anyone that's listening to just the audio, make sure you scroll down. You can actually find those clickable links in the podcast notes. So thank you, Dr. Whitfield.